Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in arts, entertainment, and publishing. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a woman who does it all. And when I say she does it all, I mean she literally does it all. She's a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll, and she does it all in excellence. So I would like to welcome to Read You Later, Candace Order Steps Johnson. Welcome to Read You Later.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Candace, you know, you are a woman who has her hand and feet in a lot of different directions. And before we even get into all of your accolades and all of your the journeys that your feet are literally taking you, how, you know, at the beginning of the year, people often talk about balance and how it's hard to balance life versus professional versus hobby versus family versus whatever. So since you're a woman that is literally twirling around in various circles, how do you find and keep your balance?
Lots and lots of prayer to start with. I definitely have to pray a lot. even though I do a lot of different things, I'm extremely organized. I try not to overbook myself. My husband definitely helps me in that arena, not to overbook myself. Some days I just have to remind myself that everything is not going to get done today. And I'm really hard on myself. I'm my toughest critic, but I plan.
You know what? And I think that's good when you said you don't overbook yourself. And I can imagine people are probably coming at you at different avenues and for different reasons. And, you know, what I've learned is all opportunities aren't blessings. And a couple of weeks ago, I found myself, my blood pressure was shot sky high, and the doctor took me out of work for approximately a week. And a couple of days, I mean, it literally was a hard task for me even to raise my head. And you know, I know, like, balance. And I kept going back to that because even times when we think we're being balanced and we think we're resting, if you're crazy, if your mind is constantly wandering or journaling or building,
yeah,
or contemplating. And so it's in those moments when you were saying, you know, not to overbook yourself, when you have those moments that you don't, do you feel that that's the time you take a breather for yourself?
Absolutely, because it's taken me quite a number of years to get to this point of realizing that there is power, there's more power in my no than in my yes. And that power is for me, because I used to say yes to everything and everyone because of the different things that I'm involved in. And I do have so many different people that come to me either to teach or to dance or to hand letter or to write this or to do that. And I was saying yes to everyone, but I was no good to myself because I was worn out. And I did not like,
yeah,
that feeling. I don't like it when my body tells me, okay, you have to sit down.
Or your body definitely
doesn't felt like
it.
Absolutely. My body cannot stand that. And usually I feel great. And it's on those days when when I know I've taken on too much that my body starts feeling like it's about to shut down, literally. And so I had to learn to flex the power of my nose because I'm
you know
anyone
what?
If
it's
I'm
no
saying
joke.
Yes all the time.
Exactly.
None.
Now,
it,
I know something
it's not a joke at all.
And it's your writing. So you have several projects under your belt, but let's talk about your latest project. if my audience is not familiar with your latest literary project, can you give us the title of your project?
Yes, absolutely. Only Ties Will Tell.
And let me tell you,
that is
a stimulating title. And you know, how sometimes you because you can't copyright titles, of course, and you see the same titles in books, especially if you're an avid reader, and it's not that anyone's trying to copy anyone, but you know, that title may fit that particular project. And also, you don't know that a book has been written 15 or maybe 8, maybe sometimes even 2 years ago, because you're not familiar with every author under the sun. But that title is such a unique title. And I'm sure my listeners are wondering about what particularly is that book about and what is the significance, without giving too much away, what is the significance of that title as it correlates to that book?
Well, if you can imagine, I spend a lot of time in church, and that's through dance, ministry. And so I have met so many different people who of faith. Let's say that. I've met so many different people of faith, and these are through anniversaries and programs and things of that nature. Well, one of the things that really kept coming back to me is how often we talk about finances in the church and how it's always coming back to tithing and how so many people have a different view of what tithing really, really means. And sometimes I feel like we get away from the true meaning of tithing and we use that 10% as a weapon against people sometimes. Or to guilt people into giving. And that's not my thing.
Wow.
You know, I was thinking the other day that my salvation did not come from Christian guerrilla tactics. My
Ooh,
salvation,
girl,
my coming to the Lord was quiet. And that's really what tithing is about. So I'm literally talking about tithing, but actually I'm also alluding to the spirit and how sometimes we use those guerrilla tactics thinking that we're bringing people close to Christ, but what we're doing is pushing further away because we're pushing them away from the message of his love. And that's where tithing Ooh. Comes from, and it's about couples who have their views on tithing and how it relates to the circumstances that are going on in their lives. You know, there is one character who just bugged me so much as I was writing her because she judged everybody based on that 10%, even though she had skeletons of her own. So,
and
not to give too much away.
I don't know if it's a unique point of view, but I do think it's an accurate point of view. And, you know, there's so much research into the reason why millennials specifically are leaving church. People who, for lack of good grammar, what we used to say were churched all of their lives. And you see now that there is I want to say a grassroots effort of more people, probably younger ministers, or so to say, who are trying to grasp and obtain and retain membership. And I noticed that there are a couple of churches that I have visited in the last 2 years where those white envelopes are no longer the case. And there's one that I'm thinking about specifically where there's a box. And if you leave or enter, if you feel like donating or what have you, or tithing or however you worship, you can place that amount in that box. And I think that a lot of people realize that the manipulation. Now, of course, we all know that churches, like any other entity, they need money to run. Mortgage, light bills, and other expenditures, you know, we're aware of that. But I think that heavy-handedness, you said the guerrilla approach, I think that has driven a lot of people away from quote-unquote traditional church. And in your book, you know, as you are telling us your message. How do you want this message to be carried out to the body of Christ?
Wow.
A particular leadership.
Now, with the leadership, and I had to be very, very careful when I was writing this book, because my husband and I have so many pastors who are actually friends of ours. And so I didn't want to offend anybody, but I also wanted to say the things that sometimes we're afraid to say, you know, in church. About boldly and show both sides of the coin, you know, or should I say both sides of that white envelope? Because as you pointed out, church, you know, they have to keep the lights on. They have bills to pay too. And not every pastor is about money. And so I had to show that in addition to
that's
the people
right,
who
exactly.
have church hurt behind the finances. You know, there's so much, about what, maybe a year or so ago, there was so much chatter and there was so much noise about church hurt. But did we really address it? Or did we start turning into memes, you know, with no solution?
Mm-hmm.
And so that, my Only Ties Will Tell is an answer to that, you know, to try to alleviate a little bit of the church hurt, to show people, hey, someone hears you, someone knows what you're going through. And also with the pastors as well, because pastors go through and sometimes we don't acknowledge
Almost
what they
definitely.
Go through, you know. So it's you know,
and as what you were saying,
you know, there's just
two
sides
of
everything.
Coin. Yeah, and showing two sides of the coin is actually being fair and being an astute seer, if you will, about what's going on. And I think, you know, also people who are in leadership who may not even be aware, because sometimes you're just so busy doing ministry and trying to make sure you keep the lights on, and especially churches who may be a little bit more financially insecure than other churches. I think that it's a good point to bring about so they don't fall into that trap, because it is a trap. And often you do drive people away when you get to a point where it's I remember several services I've attended where the flow of God, the flow, the anointing, rather, is actually the spirit is stopped. Because they didn't raise enough money. And so then it begins, like, it's almost like an auction, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And, you know, once again, I understand, I mean, you know, all churches aren't financially secure to be able to sustain themselves in certain regards. And I know the responsibilities, especially if they're guest pastors. You know, we all know, if we've been church, we know how this works. However, I think that your book is a good eye-opener for people who may not understand or realize what they have done or are doing those, God, like you said, guerrilla tactics. And I applaud you for taking that stand, especially when people, you know, especially when you have friends in the ministry and they may feel differently. But, you know, hey, look, Lizzo said it, truth hurts. And so sometimes the truth has to come forth, not sometimes, but all the time the truth needs to come forth so that we can be better, not only Christians, but just better people, you know, per se. So I applaud you for taking that stand because, you know, when you have a lot of friends in the ministry, what you've done may not be a popular stand to take, and it's a very brave stand, I will say, extremely brave stand.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, you
it
also
definitely
have a few other
easy.
Titles. Oh, honey, I can imagine. You also have a few other titles. So let's discuss those titles. So for my listeners who aren't familiar with your other titles, can you please give us a brief overview of those titles and a blurb or a quick overview? And also tell us a little bit about how we can connect with you on social media. And, of course, we're going to plug in all of your websites so we can purchase these wonderful books.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Now, I will say my favorite out of all of my titles right now is, even though the holidays have passed, is Catching Feelings for Christmas. I absolutely love those characters. And the synopsis, I had to keep that synopsis a little generic, but I'm going to say everyone should read that book. Everyone should read Catching Feelings for Christmas. There's a first day at a funeral, or a fake funeral, I should say. there's missing eyebrows. There's a little girl named Hero. It is a fun book, but there's a lot of drama. Anybody who reads my books, you'll see a lot of humor in them, but I also bring the drama. Catching Feelings for Christmas is one that you definitely want to read.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I love to laugh.
And one thing I say about this, like holiday books, you know, I'll tell you, I'm a fan of Hallmark. So, honey, I look at Christmas movies all year long, Valentine's Day, Winter Day. So, look, we can purchase and read Christmas and themed books all day, all year long. We all watch Hallmark all year long, regardless of the theme. You know, there's nothing like that Christmas feeling. Now, for people who don't know, you're an author. You do everything. You're an editor. You are a liturgical dance. So let's talk about dance because, you know, dance is a significant part of your life and your being. So tell me, how did you get involved in dance? It goes to ministry for you. And what does this ministry, because you have now undergirded a lot of other young ladies. So how has this ministry birthed other ministries?
Oh, absolutely. It's way more than I've ever imagined. I just celebrated 20 years of dance ministry. And then the ministry that I'm over, Ordered Sets Productions, just celebrated 14 years. And it was just birthed literally out of a church that I was attending at the time. They wanted to start a praise dance ministry, and no one wanted to work with the teenagers. I had no idea that I could even dance. I really had no desire to. But it was just something that. Yes, exactly. And, you know, I used to love going to the club. And so I would say God took me out of the club dancing and then dancing for him. And I took on the teenagers and literally God trained me on the job. And, you know, people think that I've been trained by major companies. But this is all a God-given gift, and I'm so grateful for it because he's taken me from a person who doubted the gift to someone who has choreographed for a 3-time Emmy-winning program. And I'm just so grateful for what he's done. And through these 20 years, he allows me to go to all these different ministries. And I train and I coach dancers and I teach them what it's about. And I give them technique, but I also give them the word and I encourage them because that's what they need. And that's why they're dancing. Yeah. And that's why I dance, because it saves my life. You know, it just brought me out of a very dark place into his marvelous light, literally. And it's just more than I dreamed of. And it was actually the basis for my first book, which was Practice What You Praise, which I turned into a film last year. And again, God just gives me these things that I don't know that I can actually do them. I don't know he's giving me the gift. He just says, go. And I just trust him and I just do it, which is where the name Ordered Steps came from. Because he's literally ordering my steps and giving me exactly what I need.
Amen. Now, since this is a segue into your movie, let's talk about your movie and the process. What prompted you to even take on such a task, and do you see how can we, you know, promote the movie, of course, but do you see yourself actually making additional film projects in the future?
Oh, absolutely. This is something that I've always wanted to do, but was just too scared to do it. And I'm a pop culture enthusiast. I learned how to read from the TV guide. at a very early age. So I read the TV guide before I got into books.
Look,
yes,
those are good old days. And they would have
yes.
little statistics and little information about your favorite actors. And yeah, I'm a TV guy.
Absolutely.
Don't count those days.
That was the best. And that's how I learned to read. And then I got into books once I learned how to read. And with practice, or I should say with any of my books, I actually write them as if I'm visualizing a movie. That's how I write. And so in the back of my mind, when I initially wrote Practice What You Praise, I thought this would be pretty awesome if I could do this as a film, because it's about a praise dancer. And it's about a praise dancer, a young teenage mom, who is 16 years old. She actually got pregnant when she was 14 and had the baby. So the baby is getting older. She was kicked off the dance ministry for being a teen mom. And now she wants to come back, and the church is divided. And that's what the short film is about, you know, based on the book and about the stones that people throw at you when they have skeletons that they're hiding. I wanted to do it. This book came out in 2015. I wanted to make this film since then. And one day last year, I told my husband, I said, you know, I really want to go ahead and do this film. And he's a playwright. And at first I wanted to do it as a play.
Then
I said, no, I really want to make it as a short film. And he said, are you sure? And I said, yes. He said, then let's do it. When I gave God a sure, solid, yes, I want to do this, everything happened within 2 weeks. We had the complete cast.
Wow.
We had the crew. I wrote the script, and we cranked that bad boy out.
You know, it reminded me of
song. It was
just
an incredible experience.
Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
It absolutely.
Song. Say yes.
Exactly.
Now, how
I
can
said
we...
yes, and I meant it.
Yeah, he did the rest. Of course, with your faith, because you have to have monumental faith, and not just faith, but you put in the work. So you put in all the components, and he did the rest. Now, where can we view this, and how can we support this project?
Go to YouTube. It's on YouTube, and I have a YouTube channel, which is also Candace Ordered Steps Johnson, and then it's called Practice What You Praise, the movie.
All right. Well, Candace,
so please watch and share.
Share, honey. Watch and share and tell everybody to share. Now, how can people connect with you, and what services do you provide, be it dance, editing, ghostwriting? What services do you provide that some of my listeners may be interested in?
Absolutely. I do teach dance, or I choreograph, or I come and dance for you. I teach at conferences, women's events, youth events, or dance at them. I am a ghostwriter. I edit nonfiction books. I write the bomb bios. If people find it hard to speak about themselves and write about themselves, let me do it for
you.
So you
got them covered.
I write synopsis. yes, I got you covered. I'm great with synopsis, titles, if you need help with that. I'm also a hand lettering artist. So I do all the things.
What? I'll find out some things about you I didn't know. That's awesome.
Oh, yes. I hand letter journals, spirals, canvases, affirmation cards. I'm deeply into positive affirmations.
Yes, you are.
What else do I do? I love it. I just love encouraging people and inspiring people, because I'm inspired by others. And so I just like to pass that on. And you can find me on Facebook, CANDICE, Ordered Steps Johnson. Also, Candace Y. Johnson, author, and Ordered Steps Productions. Dance company on Facebook, YouTube, Candace Ordered Steps, Twitter, I am author Candace J, and Instagram, @naturaldancer. Oh, and my website, bit.ly/CandiceOSP.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. She has many ways for you to connect with her. Please, please go on to YouTube, view, share, post. You can't do this enough in this day of social media. That's how people get the word, and that's how other people, distributors and other people who have big money and make many decisions, when they see that something is trending or something is being or something is viral, something is trending, something is liked a lot, then it catches the eye of others. And so we really need you to do that. You know, there's a whole lot of foolishness shared on social media, so we need to make sure that we share some light, some inspiration, and something positive. And Candace, I would like to thank you for coming on Read You Later, and thank you for adding so much positivity and lightness to the show. I mean, I could just feel you through it. I could through this computer. I mean, you're just a joy to talk to. And we wish you,
thank you so much.
You many, many, many blessings in all of your endeavors. And I look forward to seeing what you are doing next. And from my heart to yours, from my bookshelf and from my other shelf, I would like to thank you for tuning in. I would be remiss if I didn't say we want to say condolences to the 9 people that lost their lives on the helicopter that killed NBA icon Kobe Bryant, along with his daughter and his friends and his fellow co-workers working in the AAU team. And please, people, be kind and be merciful when you're making comments. We all have a past. And regardless of what any infringements that someone has done in the past, that is the past. Like God, he cast a sea of forgiveness, but Lord knows, people, we can't. And always, my grandma always taught me to speak well of the dead, and please do that, and be mindful that they have friends and families. Even though you feel that in your neck of the woods, that it's not being impacted, but, you know, things have a tendency to trend, and if there's there's a lot of negativity, of course, a lot of that will trend. So please, please be mindful of what you say, because we all have family, and we would not want anyone to say anything unkind during our time of bereavement. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And Candace, once again, thank you for joining us, and I wish you many, many blessings. And from my heart to yours,
thank you.
Have a wonderful evening. Good night.